This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We recently celebrated the birth of Jesus and then talked about his affirmation as God's Son through his baptism. Well, in today's message, we're going to consider Jesus as he begins his mission on this earth. Please stay with us for our message, Meet Jesus the Preacher, as told through the words of St. Mark.
If you could use some good news, you're in the right place today. Stay with us. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for loving us. Touch our lives again this day through your holy word so that we might grow in our relationship with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our reading for today is Mark 1, beginning at verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Dear friends, last week we began a series on the Gospel of Mark. We're having Mark introduce us to this Jesus whose birth we just celebrated. We'll get a few insights into Jesus in the next few weeks from Mark. In last week's text, we saw Jesus affirmed as God's Son, commissioned for ministry as he was baptized by John the Baptist. Today's text, as he begins his mission, he's going to tell us what we need to know, what he wants us to know, his main message. Mark writes, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee." Remember, Galilee is a northern part of the Promised Land, way north of Jerusalem. Proclaiming, that's what he did. He proclaimed, which means preaching. Jesus is finally going public with his ministry after John is arrested. We don't know how long Jesus had been biding his time, waiting for a signal from God to begin. We know it had to be at least 40 days because after his baptism, he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tested by Satan. Perhaps it was a little bit longer than that. Anyway, Jesus must have been listening for a still small voice from God like the prophets of old, like Elijah. Or maybe looking for a sign of some sort of event. He finally got it. It was the arrest of John the Baptist. John's arrest was obviously seen as a signal to Jesus to start the ministry. The great race of salvation that John had been a part of now was being handed over to Jesus. The baton was being passed from John the Baptist to Jesus, the one that John had been getting people ready to meet. So Jesus began his ministry, and he began it by preaching. We have before us today a very short message. Short but sweet. This message is loaded with good news. That's what Mark calls it. It says Jesus came preaching the good news of God. When you think about it, first of all, this preacher must have raised a few eyebrows of those who heard him. After all, look who's doing the preaching. A wandering itinerant preacher going from village to village. Many people didn't know him, obviously. The few that did knew that he was a carpenter's son. And look where he was doing his preaching. It's up in Galilee, not exactly the center of religious doings in Israel. Why wasn't he down in Jerusalem, the holy city, where things really happened? But at the same time, this good news preaching must have caused some great excitement for many people who heard it. For Israel had been waiting for a long, long time for some good news of God. They'd lived many years under the oppression of the Romans and the Greeks and other world powers, and the voice of God during that time seemed to be silent. Until John the Baptist came along, of course, preaching that one was coming in power. And that stirred many people's hopes. This whole populations came out to the wilderness to hear him talk about that. God is up to something, John said. Get ready. And now here's Jesus on the scene proclaiming the good news of God. They were hearing God hasn't deserted or jumped ship on us. God hasn't forgotten us. God must be up to something very big. Maybe it's a rescue. You can imagine the imaginations of the people as they heard this message. They must have run wild. They envisioned a political savior after all these years of oppression. A great general of sorts who could organize an army. A warrior like King David of old. We know that Jesus did run into that kind of thinking from people elsewhere in the Gospels. And of course, they were right. God was up to something big. But it wasn't political, and it wasn't military, nor economic, but it was spiritual. You know, humankind's greatest problem really is spiritual. We all need God. Without a relationship with God, life is lost. We were created for that relationship, but the relationship's been broken by humanity's sin. Forgiveness is needed, reconciliation. We need God at work in us. We need a relationship with Him, and God wants to bring a broken world and broken people like ourselves back to Himself. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said God is up to something big, though they didn't understand it at the time. Now listen to the content of the good news of God that Jesus gave them. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Hey, Jesus has a three-point sermon going there, doesn't He? Point number one, the time is fulfilled, meaning the wait is over. The times the prophets had long ago spoken of is here. It's a special time. History has been moving towards this important moment. John the Baptist preached about this moment. Now it's here. The time is fulfilled. Point number two, the kingdom of God has come near. God is coming to us. God is basically invading, taking the initiative to rescue us. Jesus was pointing to Himself, I'm sure, when He announced this news. For He represents that kingdom. The present available direct rule of God in a person's life was coming through Jesus Christ. The time is fulfilled. No more waiting. God is up to something big. He's drawn near to us to rescue us. As Jesus pointed to Himself. That is good news. God is with us. He's come for us to make things better. But then Jesus moves into point three. He calls for a response. Repent and believe in the good news. What does it mean to repent? It means to surrender your personal kingdom to Him, to God's dominion. I read this wonderful story that Stuart Briscoe told a few years ago about a simple illiterate man who was converted through the work of the Salvation Army. He went regularly to the Salvation Army church and one day came home looking rather unhappy. His wife said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I just noticed that all the people in the Salvation Army wear red sweaters and I don't have a red sweater." She said, "I'll knit one for you." So she knitted him a beautiful red sweater. The next Sunday after he went to the church, he still wasn't happy. His wife said, "What's wrong this time?" He said, "I just noticed all their red sweaters have yellow writing on them." Now they both were illiterate. But she said, "Don't worry about it. I'll embroider some writing on it for you." She had no idea what the yellow writing on the red sweater of a Salvation Army person said. They have a yellow circle, and in it reads, "Blood and Fire." That's their motto. The man's wife, not knowing what the letter said, and since she couldn't read anyway, just decided to copy a sign from a store window opposite their home. She embroidered the words of that store sign onto the man's red sweater. And when he came back to the next Sunday from church, she said, "Well, did they like your sweater?" "They loved my sweater," he exclaimed. "Some of them said they liked my sweater better than their sweater." What neither of them knew was that the sign on the store window she had copied read, "This business is now under new management." And that's what Jesus is calling us to when he says, "Repent." He's calling us to bring our lives under new management, his management. It means to turn around, to change your mind, to surrender yourself to God's leadership in your life. And Jesus said, but it goes beyond repentance. He says, believe in the good news. Put your trust in this announcement. Put your trust in me, is what he's saying. The contemporaries of Jesus had placed their trust in all sorts of things, their ancestry, their land, the Jerusalem temple, their rules and laws, and their own view of God. And Jesus is saying, drop that and believe in me. I have a favorite author that I enjoy reading. He just recently passed away. His name was Dallas Willard. And in his book, Divine Conspiracy, he addresses this passage, writing about it in this way. Dallas writes, "As a child, I lived in an area of southern Missouri where electricity was available only in the form of lightning. We had more of that than we could use, but in my senior year of high school, the Rural Electrification Administration extended its lines into the area where we lived, and electrical power became available to households and farms. When those lines came by our farm, a very different way of living presented itself. Our relationships to fundamental aspects of life, daylight and dark, hot and cold, clean and dirty, work and leisure, preparing foods and preserving it, could then be vastly changed for the better. But we still had to believe in electricity and its arrangements, understand them, and take the practical steps involved in relying on electricity." You may think the comparison rather crude, and in some respects it is, but it will help us to understand Jesus' basic message about the kingdom of God if we pause to reflect on those farmers who in effect heard the message from REA, "Repent, for electricity is at hand. Repent, or turn from their kerosene lamps and lanterns, their ice boxes and cellars, their scrub boards and rug beaters, their woman-powered sewing machines, and their radio with dry cell batteries. The power that could make their lives better was right there, near them where, by making relatively simple arrangements, they could utilize it in their lives. Strangely, a few did not accept it. They did not enter the kingdom of electricity. Some just didn't want to change. Others couldn't afford it, or so they thought. To be sure, the kingdom, God's kingdom, has been here as long as we human beings have been here and longer, but it's become available to us through simple confidence in Jesus, God's anointed, only from the time he became a public figure. Repent. Put your life under new management and believe in the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ." So there's the message, the three-point message of Jesus, his main theme throughout his ministry. The message hasn't changed over the years at all. It's still the good news of God, pointing us to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And if you want to have a close relationship with God, if you want to plug into the power that he offers you, you can. He's gone out of his way to make himself available to you. He's not hiding. He wants to have a relationship with you, to take over your life and give you a new and better life for eternity. Jesus came into this world to make that possible. He announced it, and then he went to a cross and died as a sacrifice for your sins and mine which separate us from our holy God. His cross served as a bridge for us to cross over that great divide between God and ourselves. He paid for our sins. And now God is available and approachable, and He loves you and has chosen not to turn His back on you and me, but to invite us home to Himself. The kingdom of God has come near through Jesus Christ. And I've personally discovered along life's way that I need that. Life doesn't run so well when I'm trying to do it all on my own. I don't know about you, but I need God. I need God at work in me, God with me, every day of my life. And the truth is, so do you. I need to repent again and again and turn back and place myself under His management and believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. Did you notice in this passage that Mark doesn't tell us about what kind of response Jesus got to his preaching? But then again, Mark's not so concerned about them and then. This passage is concerned about you and now. What is your relationship with God like these days? Have you made your little kingdom a part of His dominion? Have you surrendered your life to His leadership and care and placed yourself under His management? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ with your whole life and future? Some people might ask, why would I do something like that? Well, I remember one day Jesus told a parable that answers that question, which described the kingdom as a valuable treasure or a pearl of great price which is worth far more than anything this world has to offer us. And people have been discovering the truth of His words ever since. So don't miss out. Good news, God has come for you in Christ. Repent and trust in this good news. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the good news. Now help us to live surrendered lives of deep faith in that Savior who gave His life for us. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to surrender your life to Jesus' leadership and care and place yourself under His management. Well, a number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners have chosen to include this ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part of our ministry, and we're grateful to all those who have chosen to make a final gift to support our mission. In this way, donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly e-preview of the upcoming programs. To receive this e-newsletter, call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to sign up. You can also sign up to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader. CDs and printed copies of today's message are available as well. Simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us today. and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of broadcasting biblical truths.